I do want to begin by wishing all the mothers Happy Mother's Day, and at the end of Mass, I'll have a beautiful blessing for you on this grand occasion for us to celebrate each one of you and our mothers in our midst. In today's first reading, it begins with St. Peter coming to the house of Cornelius. And when Peter enters the house, Cornelius encounters God to such an extent through St. Peter that Cornelius falls at the feet of St. Peter and does him homage as though to worship Peter. Cornelius is a Gentile, pagan, Roman. And Peter, of course, says to him, "Get up, I myself am also a human being." So that attests to Peter's humility, which is certainly a necessary component to our spiritual life in relationship to God. But it also testifies to the authenticity of St. Peter's holiness, because the devil is not capable of mimicking or fabricating God's holiness. He can't do it. And so as soon as Cornelius goes down, it's evident that he's encountering the true God, and it was the humility of St. Peter to remind him, "I'm just a human being like you." And yet we are called to this holiness, you and I, we are called to this holiness. And I'll never forget time in my own life when I had something similar to this experience of Cornelius, when I almost felt like I wanted to bow down at the feet of a person whom I had met and had this sense of God. And it was the day I met Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She came up to about here on me, and she looked up at me with these really translucent green eyes. And when I saw her, there was a light coming from Mother Teresa that couldn't be given an account from the sun or the artificial light in the room where we were meeting. Its source was coming from within her. And it was bright, very bright. And her face especially shone with this light. And I understood then why it is that on our statues, if you've ever looked at some of our statues, the artist tries to place a halo around their head. And that's an artistic way of trying to capture this aura of light that is in the saints. God is light. In him, there is no darkness. And as we grow in holiness, what that means is we're the holy person is remaining in God. And God is, as Jesus says, remaining in them. We will come and make our dwelling with you. And that is genuine relationship of love, and that's what Jesus is talking about today. If you go over these readings and look at the times that the word love appears, it's quite frequent. And when I met Mother Teresa, there was no way I could have known at that time what I know now, however. When I retired from teaching university in 2017, my first year out, I spent as chaplain for some Carmelite sisters just outside of Los Angeles. And they had a retreat center, and I was the host at the priest's dining room for the whole year. That was one of my roles as chaplain. So all the different priests who would come in for retreats, I spent three meals a day with them when they came to meals. And one of the weeks during that year when I was there as chaplain, there was a priest by the name of Father Brian who was the general for Mother Teresa's male branch of her community. As you know, she founded a community of sisters, but she also founded a community of men. Father Brian was the head of that worldwide order, and he also was the procurator of Mother Teresa's process of canonization. And what the procurator does is gather all the materials and bring all these together, letters, documents, testimonies, gathers all this. It took him 3 years to get all this material together and then send it to Rome for examination before they make the decision to make her a blessed, after which you're waiting for the miracles to happen. And of course, all of that followed, the miracles followed, and she's now a saint today. But what Father Brian discovered was that Mother Teresa, at least when I met her in 1991 while studying in Rome, she was 41 years into total darkness and dryness. She had no sensible emotional experience of the presence of God. None. Totally dry. I wouldn't have known that to see her. There was so much light coming from her. There was holiness coming out of her. There was compassion on her face and such genuine virtue and humility and all the things you look for when you think of Christ. They were in her. And yet her own experience of all of that was nothing from the interior. And I know all of us, we kind of rely on the emotions for our experience that God loves us. Mother Teresa, when Father Brian told me this as well, after she in the 1940s began to go into the streets of Calcutta and eventually founded her order, in 1950 she went to Rome for the declaration of the Assumption of Mary into heaven by Pope Pius XII. And she was there in St. Peter's Square when Pope Pius XII declared Mary to have been assumed body and soul into heaven. And at the moment that happened, Father Brian also discovered that Mother Teresa began to experience this very powerful presence of God in her life. It was palpable. She had it while she was asleep. She had it while she was awake. This feeling, this emotional, sensible experience of how much God loved her. And you could cut it with a knife. It was so powerful. She would just go like this to try to snap out of it. It was so substantial in terms of the experience. And that lasted for a month. And then after that month, it went away and never came back, never came back. So by the time I met her in 1991, she had been 41 years into that darkness. And her letters, Father Brian actually edited her letters. You can get them. They're in a book form. She talks about sometimes herself being tempted to atheism even because this darkness was so thick. We rely on sensible emotion for our experience of God's love. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we have emotions. We need them in our, they're a part of our spiritual life because we're human beings. But what happens when in the experience of your relationship with God and in life, what happens when you get into trying times, and it's inevitable it's going to happen, when things aren't feeling so good, then what? What do we do then? And I think Mother Teresa, as a saint, you know, that's what the saints do. They teach us something that God, he's trying to send us a message, a call through the saints. And I think through Saint Teresa of Calcutta, one thing he's trying to say to us is even if you're not feeling really good, I still love you. That was Mother Teresa of Calcutta's faith. Even though she had no sensible consolation whatsoever for almost 60 years, she believed. She believed and had faith. And that's our call as well, because we do hit the wall. We do have our trials. We do have the times in our lives when it's not really feeling so good. It could even just be the daily grind of life sometimes, and you wonder, oh my God, could God be here? Or what's God got to do with this? It's so unexciting. How could he possibly be even mindful of me? And our faith tells us otherwise. He still loves you, always. But when we do hit trial, when we do hit that wall, and we're not feeling the consolation, or we're not feeling that relationship with God emotionally that we so often depend upon to recognize that we are loved by God, when we're not experiencing that, it's then that we are tried in our faith. That can constitute a trial of faith. It could be life is getting rougher on us and we're hitting some storms in our life. It could be difficulty in my own physical health that starting to deteriorate. Maybe I'm not feeling God so much in that experience. But even without that emotional consolation, God loves you. This is the faith. This is our faith. And he does love you. But when we do go into that trial, I think the one of the things most often that we question is in our faith, it becomes difficult in trial to still believe that God is good. Maybe we have this idea that he's mean, or based on the litany of the things I've done in my past, now he's come to get me back. Or maybe I deserve this because last week I got upset with my spouse. And so God is a punishing God. But that's not our God. He loves you. He does. That's the truth. I mean, these readings, like I said earlier, if you go over these readings today and look at how many times love is mentioned, kind of starting to wonder, like, why aren't we as Catholics, why are we missing this point? I mean, love is what the whole faith is about. And Catholicism without love just becomes a to-do list. I just check it off and, well, if I don't go to Mass this Sunday, it'll be okay, and just forget about it. I mean, that's not a love relationship. That's a to-do list. It's about love. I love someone. I want to be with them. And guess what? He loves you. Because love of God does not consist in you loving him or in me loving him, because we have failed to love him. There's no secret about that. But John tells us, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an expiation for our sins. This cross is no cause for shame. It's not, Jesus did not die on the cross so that when you looked upon the crucifix, you would be shamed. I mean, what kind of a God would come among us to shame us? Where did we get that idea? And yet so many believe it. He's demonstrating his love. That's what he's doing up there. That's incarnate love. Incarnate, so we can see it. This is the very interior life of God poured out for us. And it is that love that makes all the difference in the world for us, because all other loves around us are going to dry up at some point. And hopefully they'll be revived again. That's kind of the rhythm of love. It does can grow weak, but we get up again. But God's love is inexhaustible and will never forsake you, ever, never. It's faithful, constant, and true. At the university, we used to have this thing with the university students. It was sort of a dialogue back and forth. I would say, God is good, and they would say, all the time. And I'd say, all the time, God is good. And they'd just go back and forth like this. God is good all the time, even when we suffer. He's still good. He's not mean, vicious, and ugly. Never is, never was, and never will be. But when we hit trial, that's what becomes tried, is our faith in his goodness. That whatever I'm experiencing, whatever evils I'm undergoing, whatever trouble I've gotten into, or whatever circumstance is causing me to feel miserable, God can and will help us bring good out of it. And he will help us get up again because he loves us. And he wants us to be with him. He wants us to be where he is, which is in eternity. And he's done everything he can to make that possible without doing it for us. We need to enter into a relationship with him. That's what he wants. A real, loving, honest, authentic relationship of love. And when we do that, there'll be light coming from within you. It'll shine on your face. It'll put a nice sparkle in your eye. Because God is alive within you. And he's for you, not against you. He's loving you, not shaming you. He's trying to build you up, not tear you down. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Really? Who? Name them. And if they do come against us, who's going to defeat God, who's for us? Who's going to do that? Name them. Brothers and sisters, I welcome you to this Sunday where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, which is the resurrection of love, which is what the Catholic life is all about. Love. So let us come to this Eucharist today and say amen to him. He's loving you from this altar, and he's coming into your life. Welcome him, the body of Christ. Amen, Jesus. I trust in you. I love you. Come into my life this day. At this time, I would like to invite, we have a speaker. We're going to talk about the St. Vincent de Paul conference here at St. Andrew's. Mr. Paul Berardi is going to have a brief talk about that here at